So we left off on Wednesday. We're talking about a shaila. Hopefully the shaila won't be too lemaisa, but it is fairly often lemaisa. You have to, a person needs stitches on Shabbos, so assuming that the original stitching, the initial stitching is permissible based on a suffix of pikuach nefesh, question becomes, the doctor tells us that you really only need X amount of stitches for the pikuach nefesh dimension. Now let's put in a couple of extra stitches more for cosmetic reasons. Is there a heter or not? So the shaila so far revolved around 2 points. First of all, we weren't quite sure there was an issa to stitch altogether on Shabbos, and assuming that there is an issa to stitch, maybe this would still somehow be covered under the heter, a general heter of pikuach nefesh. So whether or not there's an issur altogether to do stitching on Shabbos, we spoke about two possible malachas, either the malach of tofer or the malach of kosher. We were hesitant, we weren't 100% sure whether the malach of tofer applies altogether to stitching in the Gufa Adam, because we already saw precedent that certain of these malachas don't apply to Gufa Adam. The problem was some of them do apply to Gufa Adam, and it's somewhat a lack of clarity on that shaila. Then we also weren't 100% sure about the kayama dimension in terms of the tzvira, the kshira. So we couldn't say with absolute certainty that there is a malach here altogether, although we were concerned that there may potentially be one or two possible malachas deraisa. On the other hand, Shlomo Zalman had a suggestion based on the Gemara Masechta Shabbos about Bris Milah, that there is a precedent in halacha when you're permitted to do a certain action, such as a milah on the 8th day on Shabbos. Not only are you allowed to do the milah itself, but you're allowed to even finish up the job, even that part of the milah which is not ma'akeh, which is not critical to the milah, kolz ban shelo pirish. As long as you haven't stopped the actual milah proper, again, whatever that means, you haven't done the milah, the priya, matzitzah, whatever your definition of lo pirish is, as long as you haven't yet been Polish, you haven't yet completed the job, you're permitted to finish up the final touches, even though those final touches are not really critical. They were called Tzitzin She'ein Machvedes Amila. So Shlomo Zalman wanted to compare that halacha to our discussion as well. So I'm permitted to do the first 5 stitches because of Bikuach Nefesh. Now I can do the next couple of stitches, Kol Zman Shelo Piresh. So we're not 100% sure about this marshal of Rav Shlomo Zalman. I don't think Rav Shlomo Zalman was 100% sure either. He's suggesting it as a possibility. And one possible reason to differentiate between the two cases is there happens to be a machlokes rishonim and on that sugya in Shabbos and of Kuf Lamed Gimel as to why exactly that case is mutter. Why exactly is it mutter for the mail to finish the job? So the Gemara says it has to do with the fact that the mail hasn't stopped yet. So that's a question. What's that based on? So the Rav Shlomo will learn that the real matir to finish the job is based on Hiddur Mitzvah. Not only is the milah itself Doich HaShabbos, but Hiddur Mitzvah is considered to be part and parcel of the Mitzvah itself. So when the Torah says of a Yom HaShmini, Yom HaBasar HaLoso, that means whatever is called a Shei Milah. So Shei Milah means either the real part, that's Mamash Ma'achev, that the lack of doing it, the child's an RL, and anything that's done to enhance the Mitzvah of Milah also has on it a Shei Mitzvah's Milah, and therefore it's included in the hat there of Mila Decha Shabbos. So according to a whole group of Rishonim, that sugya is really rooted in the principle of Hiddur Mitzvah. If that's the case, that it's based on Hiddur Mitzvah, so then why do we make a difference whether it's Piresh or Lo Piresh? Even if the person finished the job, he comes back an hour later, it's still a Hiddur Mitzvah. So this may be based on the following. There are some Rishonim who maintain that Hiddur Mitzvah only makes sense if it's connected to the Mitzvah itself. Hiddur mitzvah means to do a mitzvah bihidura. When you do the mitzvah itself, and then you enhance the mitzvah b'shasa mitzvah, that's called hiddur mitzvah. If I do a mitzvah, then I come back a month later, and I try to beautify, try to touch up the mitzvah, there's no shaykh, there's no connection between the ma'isa mitzvah and the hiddur mitzvah, and therefore, it's not called the hiddur mitzvah. So once it's piresh, it's ois hiddur mitzvah. Once it's no longer hiddur mitzvah, but mele it's not going to be deicha shabbos. So the reason why there's a halacha that kol zman shelo piresh, it's mutter to be mechal Shabbos, is not because lo piresh itself is the matir. It's not because I wasn't poresh and therefore it's still part of the original action. It's more than that. It's because I wasn't poresh and therefore it's still called the hiddur mitzvah. So hiddur mitzvah, which is part of the original mitzvah, that's deicha Shabbos. When it comes to stitches, there's no hiddur mitzvah pikuach nefesh. I did the pikuach nefesh. Once the doctor says the patient's going to live, there's nothing to worry about, so then I have no matter anymore. I have no piresh. What's up with anything? Then I finished the pikuach nefesh. Anything post pikuach nefesh, there's no kiyum to it. There's no lechat chil when you treat a patient. The goal of the doctor is, the doctor may have other goals, but that's not pikuach nefesh goals. That's not called pikuach nefesh. So it's true, the plastic surgeon is getting paid to do as nice a job as possible, but that's not a halachic concept. That's not part of the etzem heter of pikuach nefesh. So by bris milah, where there's a principle of zekeli venveo, there's a concept of hidu mitzvah. So hidu mitzvah is decha Shabbos. But making a person look nicer is not decha Shabbos. It's very important, but it's not decha Shabbos. So that's one possible refutation of Shlomo Zalman's mashal. So the truth is that that lumdus that we just said is actually a major machlekes in Rishonim. The other Rishonim who don't say it that way, the other Rishonim who say that, no, the reason why it's mutter there is dafka because lo pirish, it's the chadamais, it's the same action, and that's nothing to do with the mitzvah, and therefore the svar of one action can perhaps be borrowed to pikuach nefesh as well. So again, we have a lot of sfeikas. We're not quite sure that the stitching was also in the first place, and even assuming the stitching was also, we're not quite sure that it's outright also if the initial stitching was mutter based on pikuach nefesh.
Is pikuach nefesh a mitzvah?
It's a mitzvah. It's not literally what the tag mitzvahs, but I'm not sure you would say. I'm not sure you would say a hidden mitzvah on v'chai b'hem. I think v'chai b'hem, the goal of v'chai b'hem is to make sure that the person is alive, whether it looks pretty or not. That's a secondary goal.
And kavod habriyos.
I mean, these are all very important concerns, but they're not the Shabbos. You can't be violated nisa derech. You can violate certainly assume they're abundant for kavod habriyos.
But if you're in the middle of a maisa. I mean, there's no ribu yishurim, but if you're middle of a maisa and in betoch the maisa, it switches over to a possible isur. Does kavod habriyos come in at all?
I don't think so. I think assuming that you don't accept the svar from Shlomo Zalman, then we're dealing with mamash chol Shabbos deraisa. So chol Shabbos deraisa, you have to have much more than kavod habriyos to be matir.
If the doctor is generally accustomed to looking at this wound and saying that needs 7 stitches, does he have to come in and say, oh, I might be able to do a way? I have another way of doing that surgery today with only 5 stitches because it's Shabbos. You have to think along those lines. Can you?
Up till this point, yes. Up until what we're assuming, yes. We're about to see in a moment that somebody should may assume like your question. But up until this point, Shlomo Zalman is working with the guidelines that pikuach nefesh means you do what has to be done, and that's it. Not a drop more. But then Shlomo Zalman comes up with a second kula. Then if you go back to the end of this tshuva, 3 lines to the bottom of the efsher. Yeah, we can go back actually at the beginning of that paragraph. So v'nosaf l'zeh, still finishing up on what he said before. V'nosaf l'zeh, so first he gave his whole shtickle Torah about bris milah, the comparison, and lo pirish. So then he says, v'nosaf l'zeh, in addition, kamra isi sharabim sovrim, to lake a klalus in Torah b'tfir shabukuf adam. So there are those who maintain that there was no esrim in the first place. Av shalafiani is daiti, kein tzvichim lochosh l'zeh. He says, not so simple. He says, I'm not convinced that there's no iser. Mishum da'afi motzina chakach eschuti ha'tfira, filoche ha'tfira chasher shal kayama. Nevertheless, the tfira itself is called shal kayama, even though the stitches are going to come out, but the sewing together of the skin itself is shal kayama. So he says that, it's kind of like a shtickle sveik sveika. There are those who hold there was no iser altogether. And even though I don't personally think they're right, mikomachum gemara tzol ha'shaydi, but you still have my other svara, that's the gemara of the tzol, maybe it's okay. Then Shlomo Zalman comes from left field with another svar lahakel, the efsher. So we have 3 efshers. We have an erin vados. Yeah, 3 efshers. The efsher shigam zetoli.
Is gemara tzala shiny the same as meal?
Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. The efsher shigam zetoli b'mashikatsu b'magid mishne b'chol Shabbos b'rak beis lachei. The chol ma shirigilim lasos the chol sheyesh persakar b'chol osim gam b'Shabbos. That's really what you were referring to. The famous sheet of the Magid Mishnah. Magid Mishnah, there's a Mefarish Rishon who comments on the Rambam. So the Magid Mishnah has a Chiddush Gadol in Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh. The Magid Mishnah says that when you have a Chola Sheyesh Pesakana in front of you, we know for a fact this person is a Chola Sheyesh Pesakana, at least a Safek, Chola Sheyesh Pesakana. So it's permitted for us to do whatever the doctor says is absolutely necessary. What if there are certain things that are within the normal care of the Chola that are not technically absolutely emergency? They really could be put off to lift the Shabbos, or they really could be put off altogether. It's not really necessary to do it. On the other hand, if this person would be in front of us on a Tuesday, we wouldn't hesitate to do these things, because these are the normal tzarchei hachola. So I always give the mashal. person is sick, and there's a shayla pikuach nefesh, and the doctor says he needs this medicine, he needs that medicine, the other medicine, and now his mother comes and says, he needs chicken soup. He says, chicken soup, that's going to do the trick. So the doctor says, you know, I'll tell you the truth, he may feel a little bit better if he has chicken soup, but between you and me, it's probably not going to make a long-term difference in his medical care. The Magen Mishnah says you can cook the chicken soup on Shabbos. That's called Osin Kol Tzorech HaChayla B'Shabbos. Whatever is considered to be within the normal range of taking care of a chayla, so even though right now that particular part of the care is not really, quote unquote, not really necessary, if it's Tzorech HaChayla is mutter l'chayla on Shabbos, as long as he's already a chayla shesh b'sakana. It doesn't mean a guy has a sore throat, you cook chicken soup on Shabbos. It means if a guy is a chol shesh b'sakana, so we can already avail ourselves of the heter of a chayda of a pikuach nefesh, then we go to the next level, and we say, kol tzorech chol is mutter. According to that, Magid Mishnah then argues of Shlomo Zalman, we can do the extra stitches as well. Once we ascertain that the person is a chol shesh b'sakana, as we said at the end of the shiur on Wednesday, it's a suffix sakana, there's a chance, maybe a remote chance of infection setting in, so the doctor signs up and says, we have to do some stitches over here. Once we have to do some stitches, it's a chol shesh b'sakana, then we're allowed to do kol tzorech yachola. What's kol tzorech yachola? On Tuesday, you would never do just five stitches. You would do the extra seven stitches. So just as on Tuesday, you consider the extra stitches as tzorech yachola, just as we permit the chicken soup, mitam tzorech yachola, so you can do the extra stitches on Shabbos as well. That's what Shlomo Zalman's second suggestion. Now, of course, this suggestion is only as true as the Magen Mishnah is. Do we accept this Magen Mishnah al-Halacha? So that's a very, very big question. So the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos quotes this Magen Mishnah, and he claims that the overwhelming or the majority of the Rishonim don't accept this Magen Mishnah. So it's a tremendous chiddush to say. Also, Kol Tzorech HaChol B'Shabbos. Magen Mishnah is not, the Mishnah Berurah is not comfortable passing like this Magen Mishnah. However,
under any circumstances.
But even in the original case, forget about the extension. Mishnah Berurah was, and Radin, they weren't talking about cosmetic stitches. Even in the original case of Magen Mishnah, the Mishnah Berurah didn't think that we should follow this. However, it said over in the name of Reb Chaim, the Reb Chaim Soloveitcher, Reb Chaim Brisker, held that we do accept this Magen Mishnah. What was the context of Reb Chaim's statement? So there is a tradition from Reb Chaim that on Yom Kippur, when you have a chol shiyesh b'sakana, so there is no need to feed him what's called pachas b'kashia. We're always used to that idea. When you have a chol shiyesh b'sakana, so you have to try very hard to give him less than the amounts. You give him less than a little schnapps glass, a little bit of juice, a little bit of food, then you wait a few minutes, give him a little bit more. We're used to that whole model of what's called machilas or pachas b'kashia. Where do we get that from? It's in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is Yom Kippur, and quotes from the Spash in the Gemara that there is such a din. When you feed a chayla Yom Kippur, you have to feed him pachas b'kashia first. If that's not enough, then you have to feed him regularly. So Reb Chaim suggested that when do we find this halacha pachas b'kashia, argues Reb Chaim? That's for a person who's not yet a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. The person's fine. He's down for the Yom Musa. He's in perfect shape, but he has some kind of a potential medical problem where the doctors say if he doesn't eat or drink, he may become a chola, but he's not yet a chola lefaneinu. So that's also called pikuach nefesh, but that's a different kind of pikuach nefesh, says Reb Chaim. So brisk of and pikuach nefesh. Says Reb Chaim, there's a chola, and there's someone who is prone to potentially become a chola. A person who's already a chola, you don't have to bother measuring schnapps glasses for him. Give him to eat and drink normally, there's nothing to worry about. The only time in Shulchan Aruch we insist on machinos or pachas because shir argues Reb Chaim, that's only for the person who is not yet a chole. If he's not yet a chole, it's not yet called v'chai behem. Now, you don't have to be foolish and wait for him to become a chole. So you're allowed to take preventative measures, but those preventative measures can only be done b'shirin. You can only do that pachas b'kashir. It's a famous chiddush from Reb Chaim. The pasuk said the other pasuk was not this way. The Mishnah Berurah for sure didn't say this way. That's Reb Chaim's chiddush. What's Reb Chaim's chiddush based on? So this was known by Alper. All the Rabbanim and Litta knew this pasuk for Reb Chaim. Those who followed it, those didn't follow it. A famous pasuk for Reb Chaim. What's it based on? So the Brisker Rav in his Sefer and the Rambam writes that his father's pasuk was based on this Magid Mishnah. Says the Brisker Rav that his father Reb Chaim held that Be'ikra didn't we follow this Magid Mishnah. That's called Osin Kol Tzorech Yachayla B'Shabbes. So says Reb Chaim, Osa Kotzach HaChayla means once we've established that the person is a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, so then it's basically not Shabbos for him. It means whatever is within the normal realm of care is Mutter. So to borrow that concept to Yom Kippur, once we establish, that's the key, once we establish he's a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, then you're allowed to do Kol Tzarchav. What's called Kol Tzarchav? a normal Cholesh Yesh Basakana on a regular weekday doesn't start drinking down schnapps glasses of orange juice, doesn't start looking at his watch to see when he can have the next piece of challah. He just eats a normal meal. He sits down, eats it, he drinks whatever his body needs. So comes the Brisker Rav and says, that's why his father held that once the person has a Cholesh Yesh Basakana, he's permitted to eat and drink normally. He doesn't have to shiur him, nothing's necessary. He can eat and drink in a normal fashion. Because Reb Chaim held that the Magen Mishnah is correct. So now, going back to our story, to Reb Shlomo Zalman. Reb Shlomo Zalman has a chiddush that he wants to compare the extra stitches to the Magen Mishnah. Okay, we accept the comparison, but we're not quite sure we accept the Magen Mishnah. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, the whole Magen Mishnah was rejected. So obviously the corollary, the extension of Reb Shlomo Zalman is going to be rejected as well. But according to the tradition from Reb Chaim, so we can bring this Magen Mishnah back to life. We can bring this Reb Shlomo Zalman back to life. That if Osin Kotzorech Echol B'Shabbos is true, and therefore the Chol is allowed to eat more than the Shir of his Echol L'Sheish B'Sukkot L'Faneinu, therefore you would be permitted to do the extra stitches based on this whole Shtikl Torah. So I had a Shaila like this, based on this Magen Mishnah several years ago. I think I've told over the shot here before. There was a Talmud of mine who had to have an emergency surgery. Mamash an Erev Yom Kippur. Baruch Hashem, now he's fine. Several years later, it's Baruch Hashem, everything's fine. But it was Erev Yom Kippur. I think it was actually the day before Erev Yom Kippur. He had to have a very, very serious surgery. So I went to visit him in the hospital Erev Yom Kippur in the morning. So he was an IV. He wasn't having any great meals that Yom Kippur. But he asked me the following Shiloh. He said that the doctor told him that he should, since he was on an IV, so he should have the ice chips, right, to keep him, they recommend, to keep his mouth more comfortable, keep it a little moist. He should have the ice chips in his mouth. So he wanted to know, is he permitted to have the ice chips on Yom Kippur? That was the shaila that he wanted to know. So on the one hand, he was obviously a Cholesh Yesh B'Sakana, he just had a very, very serious surgery the day before, so he was definitely in the category of a Cholesh Yesh B'Sakana. On the other hand, this particular added comfort or treatment, whatever you want to call it, the ice chips, you know, I wasn't a doctor, so I wasn't going to make that call. Was that a pikuach nefesh or not? So I asked him, find out how serious the lack of those ice chips is. My gut feeling was, it wasn't all that serious. I didn't think it was going to make much of a difference. On the other hand, far be it for me to make a medical judgment call. So I said to him, like this, he's a real mentor, this fellow. So I said to him, let's go through the lumdus together. If the doctor tells you that it's really necessary, there's some kind of a real medical concern, but if the doctor tells you it's not really medically necessary, it's comfort necessary, so then the fiyanias daiti, it depends on the smaki mishnah. He said, if you hold that pikuach nefesh, once you have had the pikuach nefesh, so then included in pikuach nefesh is kol tzorach yachola. If you would be experiencing, if you would have this surgery on a regular, Tuesday afternoon, so then on the next day you would have these ice chips. That's like your grandmother cooking you the chicken soup. That's anything that makes you a little bit more physically comfortable would be permissible. So according to the Magen Mishnah, it's mutter based on Olsin Kotzorach Yachoyla. So I said to him, Reb Chaim, Kapaskin this way, Halach Lamaisa. It's Yaduma first, and Reb Chaim held this way, Halach Lamaisa. And according to the way his son, the Brisker Rav, presents the Lamdas, it's predicated on the Magen Mishnah, which would be the same application here as well. So he said, according to Reb Chaim, I think that it's mutter, even if the doctor says it's not medically necessary. But if the doctor concedes it's not medically necessary, you should just know, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it would be a problem. It's not an isekaris because it's obviously less than a shear, but it's still pachas b'gashir. Chatzis shear is also in the Torah. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, you can't be matter any yisur d'oraisa for the comfort of a chola if the doctor says there's absolutely no medical emergency involved. So that's how we left. I said, fix. I first find out the mitzias, what the doctor says, and if the doctor says that it's not really necessary, then we should discuss whether we should rely on Reb Chaim's tradition or whether we should go with the Mishnah Berurah's rejection of this Magid Mishnah. That's pretty much the way I left with him. I got a message back from his doctor that in the area, something along the lines, in the area of Pikuach Nefesh, we don't play around, we don't take Cheshbonis. The doctor was a firm fellow, it was Ben Torah, the doctor. And he sent back a message, tell Rabbi Savolovsky that I think the person should have the ice chips. So, we're not taking anything. We're not patching around in the realm. So something along those lines. Okay, so I accepted the message back. I said, listen, I'm not a doctor. I'm not getting to every kippah. The last thing I'm doing is taking on my... I said, to make the shayla even more, a little bit more levadik, this particular doctor happened to be my chavrusa years ago. We had learned chulun together many, 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 many moons ago. So I just saw him recently. I didn't want to remind him about the ice chip shayla, but that was where we left it. So my initial reaction was, you know, from a non-medical point of view, that it was hard for me to believe the how serious this was in terms of Bikuch Nefesh. And then I subsequently asked some doctors afterwards, they also sided with me. Right? I think that there's not, absolutely nothing's going to happen to this guy if he doesn't have his ice chips. So I can't tell you at the end whether he did or not, but the lumbus of the Magen Mishnah was being discussed at on the spot. In Erev Yom Kippur, the guy hooked up to a million tubes. So this was on his mind. Ashreichem Yisrael, this is what was on his mind. I actually spoke that year and the next day in Yom Kippur. I spoke by Ne'ila. I spoke about it. I said what it means to be a Bentara. I said, a Bentara, a person is a Shomer Torah mitzvah. So I said, even in the moment of crisis, I said, what's really on their mind, what really bothers them, is it a Shaila Pachas B'Kashir? Not a Shaila Pachas B'Kashir. Is it Chil Yom Kippur? Not Chil Yom Kippur. Ashreichem Yisrael. I said, it's a Mechayiv for everybody. But again, not time, not a place. So getting back to that story, so we really have three Shailas. Revolve the extra stitches. I said, on the one hand, it's only four shailas, because we're not so sure is there a malach of tofer altogether. We're not so sure there's a malach of kosher altogether. We're not so sure about the kulav of Shlomo Zalman about the piresh, and we're not so sure about the kulav of Shlomo Zalman about the Magen Mishnah. People have asked the shaila maisa. You know, people come to ask me the shaila maisa every once in a while. I can't be from on somebody else's cheshbon. Means if, you know, on a kid having a chalila scar for life, I'm not going to be machmer. So what I would normally say is like this: if you have two doctors in front of you, you have a non-Jewish doctor, a Jewish doctor, and the non-Jewish doctor can do the job just as well, matoiv. Sometimes it's not always like that. Sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes a Jewish doctor is a better doctor. If a Jewish doctor, or particularly a frum doctor, is doing it, the doctor's not calling to ask me the shaila. The doctor's going to do what he's got to do. It's the patient who's asking me the shaila. So now, from the patient's vantage point, what malacha is he doing? He's not doing anything. Misayeya, we already spoke about, remember, months ago, we spoke about getting your nails cut. When the goy is cutting the Jew's nails to go to the mikvah, so the shach paskins, that's not a malacha for the Jew. Because misayeya ain't real mamish, that's most of the poskimusut. So when a procedure is being done to you, even though you may be positioning your head and maneuvering and patchkin around, we assume that's not really your malacha. It's really the malacha is being done by the person who's being the oses of malacha. Elawat, it's my chashash of it's lifted a hiver, that I'm setting up a situation for a person to do a potential Chil Shabbos. So here perhaps we can invoke a principle within Huchas Lefneiver. Rav Moshe has a klal, already knows before Moshe developed the klal, Rav Moshe solidified this klal. In the Isra of Lefneiver, causing somebody to do an Aveira, Lefneiver means when I cause somebody to do something which is outright Asa L'chol HaDeis. If let's say Reuven holds that it's Mutter, Reuven's rabbi told him that it's Mutter, Reuven's not such a great Reuven's rabbi told him that it's Mutter. So comes Rav Moshe and says, even though I personally don't think that's true, my rabbi told me that it's aser, there's no lifnei iver. He goes, how can it be lifnei iver? Lifnei iver, let's see the mikshel, I shouldn't be machshel somebody to do something, but that person himself holds its mutter, and he's justifiably holds it. His psach is that it's mutter. Whether I think that psach is a good psach, a bad psach, but tachas the feed devar of its mutter, says Rav Moshe, can't possibly be lifnei iver. It's interesting, the original context of that true Rav Moshe was in a very controversial topic these days, about perish shvius, shmita fruit. If I want to buy fruit from somebody who's relying on the heter mechira, so again, leaving out details, vegetables, fruit, is not the time and place right now for shekloli and shmita, but suffice it to say that if something has kedusha shviyas to it, even in the cases when it's mutter eat it, which again also depends, even when it's mutter eat it, it's not supposed to be sold. A person's not supposed to have a store and selling his regular pair of shviyas. The iser according to Rav Moshe is on the mocher, not on the kone. Says Rav Moshe, if I go into a store and they're selling pair of shviyas and I want to buy it, so the seller is relying on the het mechira. I don't want to rely on the het mechira. Says Rav Moshe, it's not a lifnei iver problem because he asked his rabbi. His rabbi told him that it's mutter. And says Rav Moshe, even if he didn't ask his rabbi, from the fact that he's doing it, it shows that if he would have asked his rabbi, the rabbi would have told him it's okay. He would have done it. Then he's relying on something. So whether you personally want to rely on that kula, whether it's a good kula, a good het, or not a good het, that's irrelevant to the discussion. Says Rav Moshe, lifnei iver it's not. Lifneiver can only be violated when something is usur according to the person who's doing it. The fact that it's usur according to me, the quote-unquote machshil, that does make a difference. According to that cloud that Rav Moshe and other posts could develop, I think the same thing could be said here as well. This doctor who's doing the 10 extra stitches, he's quote-unquote relying on a shita. Who's he relying on? He's relying on Shlomo Zalman. He's relying on Magen Mishnah. He's relying on Zalman. You know, there are a couple of really, really good svaras here to say that's mutter. Am I comfortable personally doing a chashash is a skila based on these svaras? I'm not so sure. Rav Shlomo Zalman himself, it was an efshir, it was a suffek, it was a maybe. Rav Shlomo Zalman himself also wasn't absolute certain, but he has some things to rely on. You can't say it's nothing. A person comes to the hospital and in effect asks the doctor, stitch up my kid. So the doctor says, okay. I mean, this is not really spelled out, but it's ki'ilu porta. So the doctor says, okay. The first 5 stitches is v'chai b'hem. Would you like me to do the next 3 stitches? So assuming that the doctor's quote-unquote asking this question. Would you like me to do the extra 3 stitches? So I say like this. If I was the doctor, I wouldn't be so comfortable doing these extra 3 stitches. But, you know, you're the one asking the shayla, and you're willing to do it, haraya. The non-from patient who just came in, you did it, didn't ask the shayla. So again, nothing of this is not really happening in the emergency room, but ke'ilu what's happening. So now, I'm in a very funny position. I wouldn't want to do it myself, because I'm not convinced that it's really mutter minuto. I think it's chashash of inis to do this. On the other hand, the doctor has a green light to do it. His psak is that it's mutter. Shlomo Zalman Kapaske, that's efshad that's mutter. My Mishnah says it, Pashtar, make a Mishnah that's mutter. If he'd ask Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Pashas would say that's mutter. So I'm nervous, I'm hesitant, I want to roll Mishnah Bura, I'm not so sure about this, maybe it is a derai, the worst shayla that I have is a lifnei yiver shayla. A lifnei, it's not a lifnei yiver shayla. Because the feed divar of its mutter, since the feed divar had doctor its mutter, because he asked a shayla, and even if he didn't really ask a shayla, he could have asked a shayla, and someone would have told him that it's mutter. That's not called the flavor. So lefiani is daiti, when the patient comes and asks me the shayla and wants to know, Rabbi, I know full well this doctor is doing unnecessary stitching. I say, okay, it's not your problem. I say, get your kid to get his stitches up done properly. You go to the emergency room and tell the doctor, take care of my child. But the doctor can decide what that means, taking care of the child. So whatever is within the realm of normalcy, whatever, I don't think it's ever really pirage in any real sense. The doctor doesn't go out for a cup of coffee in the middle, I'm hoping. So it's never really pirage. So you have the first side of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Lachol, and you always have the Magen Mishnah to fall back on, and in the back of our minds, Reb Chaim, and me and Lana Reb Chaim was machwil like the Magen Mishnah. So then those who rely on this, but Makom, a big, big tzarech gadol, in terms of the child, Nebuch, having a lifelong scar. So I think there's definitely grounds for Lachol. That's Lamaisa, based on all this Lamdas. Lamaisa, that's what I tell people to do. However, one has to be careful, even when relying on this Magen Mishnah, that the book stops here with the Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah says tzarech yachola, I think, should be limited to physical tzarech yachola, things that really physically enhance the care of the chola. Either the cosmetic stitches is also part of that, the chicken soup is also part of that, but Rav Shlomo Zalman, in another place, is quoted by the Shemir Shabbos, is saying, how far does this Magen Mishnah go? A chola, the guy's laying in the hospital, he's sick, and the doctor says he needs to get an IV, and he needs to get an X-ray, and he's everything, and then the chola pipes up, as Rav Shlomo Zalman writes it, he says, HaChola Mevakesh Iton, he needs the newspaper. So he says, please go to the store and buy me a newspaper. So I say to him, it's Shabbos, so he says, Magen Mishnah, Tzarech HaChola. So, or Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't even write this, and he was Ola Adas. He wants to watch TV, he's laying in the hospital, he wants to watch TV, he says, I'll feel better if I watch TV. So, how you talking? The Magen Mishnah would let you turn on the TV. So, Shlomo Zalman says, how you talking? The Magen Mishnah would let you go buy a newspaper. Impossible. So, where do you draw the line? Miss Stumbi, you draw the line within physical tzarchei chayla and other kinds of quote unquote tzarchei or not that up. Sometimes the word need. It's interesting in Aramaic. So, the word boy means to want. It means to need. It means there's a little bit of overlap between the two terms. So I've told my kids, right? I used to tell my kids when they were little, I said that's one of the biggest challenges to learn in life, the difference between wants and needs. Most people have not yet passed that challenge. So you have to know, what do you want? You know, the kids always say, I need a new hockey stick. You need a new hockey stick? You got a new hockey stick. Every 6 months you get a new hockey stick. I need a new hockey stick. You want a new hockey stick? One time I had an exercise with my children. I said that I wanted to make a list of 10 wants and 10 needs. I want to go to Magic Mountain. I want to go there. I want to go this. I want this. I want to help. And then what do I need? So I need food. I need air to breathe. And Baruch Hashem, they made my day. I need Torah to learn. Wow, that made it on the needing list rather than on the wanting list. Baruch Hashem, yom yom. That's what Shlomo Zalman says here also. You have to be careful. I would say that The extra stitches is a need. It's a real legitimate need. The newspaper and the TV, I would say, is a want. So I'm not sure that tzarech yachol includes wants. I think tzarech yachol includes needs, even though not necessarily pikuach nefesh needs. So at the end of the day, yesh makom lahakel, you know, it's usually the doctor not asking the shayla, the patient asking the shayla. I think yesh makom lahakel on all these svaras of Rav Shlomo Zalman, combined with the fact we're not even sure we have an issue here in the first place, going back to the tofus sugyas. This was supposed to be just a shirayim of Wednesday shir. We were supposed to start the sugya today. Obviously, that didn't quite happen. So hopefully, next week, we'll start with the. Look at this.